This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 111 of BookCareers.com Live. This week, I want to talk to you about the downside of side hustles. I've had a number of people contact me who are in difficult situations because of their side hustles, and I want to ensure you are aware of the implications or downsides of a side hustle. You can't fail to notice that during lockdown, a number of people have set up side hustles, be it freelancing outside their own job, earning alternative methods of income, trying to become an influencer, or doing something in order to get new skills. However, whatever your side hustle, there can be a downside, and I'd like to bring a little bit of reality to what might seem like a good idea at the time. This doesn't constitute legal advice. Whatever stage you are at in the world of work, your free time is not your own to do with it as you please. You have a duty to whoever is paying your wages, salary, or paying for your services. Let's look at a variety of different scenarios and you'll see what I mean. Number one is when you are a salaried member of staff and you accept a second job or freelance outside of your job or earn any other income, whatever the source, which could be as simple as something like multi-level marketing, which is selling Avon Cosmetics or Herbalife. You might call this a side hustle, but for those of us who are old school, it is called moonlighting, where you have a second job, which you secretly might be doing at night in addition to your regular employment. In almost all cases, having a second employment stream will be prohibited or mentioned in your contract of employment that you cannot accept any other form of employment or income stream without prior written permission from your employer. It is no good saying, oh well, I do this on Saturdays and I don't work for my employer on a Saturday. My employer doesn't own my time, because I'm afraid when you work for someone else and they pay you a salary, even if you think that salary is derisory, you have a responsibility to fulfil your contract of employment to the best of your abilities. For example, if you are paid to work for a publisher for 37 and a half or 40 hours a week, then extra work outside of this could impact on your efficiency, productivity, tiredness, or health. Imagine this scenario. You are the employer. You've employed someone to manage your social media in their day job. Then outside of their day job, they take on a second job of managing social media for someone else. What thoughts are running through your head right now? Let's take a guess at them. If they're managing social media for someone else, how do you know they aren't doing it during the time you are paying their salary? They're using the same software on the same platforms. What evidence is there that one job finishes at a certain time and another one starts? Is there evidence they are using your company software or equipment to perform their second job? What about the quality of their work for you? Has there been a noticeable shift in the way they seem less enthusiastic to engage with people on social media? Have you noticed a change in their social media voice? They used to be so chatty and encouraging, but somehow now that chattiness appears on the feed of their second job and not your feed, and you are their main employer. Are you noticing a change in the quality of what they are tweeting for you? That certain news items, which were the mainstay of your Twitter feed, now appear to be duplicated elsewhere? Or has the creativity they used in graphics for your posts dropped off? Whilst their second job, well, they seem to have the most amazing graphics. Or even worse, they're doing this for someone you deem to be a competitor. Then you're together with them in a meeting and you can't help but notice they appear unlike their usual self. They are overtired, stressed and short-tempered. And now you, as the person with the side hustle, are thinking, well, I've got a second job, or I'm freelancing and I'm none of these things. Maybe not, but any or all of these scenarios may be pulled up and used against you at any time, and very soon you may find yourself without your day job. And if some of your second job relies on you having your day job, then that is likely to go too. There are no excuses for accepting secondary employment without prior permission. Even if you had a second job when the publisher recruited you, you need to make it clear when you sign that contract of employment, you have every intention of continuing with that second job. And as this is a contract amendment, it needs to be in writing. It is no good saying, oh, they understood, or, oh, we had a conversation about it, or I mentioned it at my interview. When you get that contract of employment, read through every clause carefully before you sign it and ensure you understand what it is you can and can't do without permission. You might be thinking this seems harsh. However, your contract of employment covers areas like working hours, salary reviews, bonuses, holiday allowances, sick pay. And I can guarantee that you would jump on your employer instantly if they reneged on any of those clauses in your contract. So what are you expecting different treatment for if you renege on your clauses? To avoid any of this, please put it in writing, either before you sign the contract, or if you are already employed, you write a letter asking for permission, laying out what it is you will be doing, who you will be doing it for, and when you intend to do it. I've been in both situations. I started a second job whilst working for the first and I asked permission. And I've accepted new jobs whilst continuing my second job because for a long time, book careers was my second job. It never threatened my employment and I made it clear what hours I would be working, and the only time there might be an issue was on the last day of the London Book Fair. So accepting extra employment is probably the most significant side hustle. But there are still so many instances where you can get caught out. Number two is sharing company confidential information, either with a competitor in a conversation or on a blog. Now, in book publishing, we are social animals. Mostly, we talk to others who are our competitors, we share information, we might talk about what new manuscripts we've rejected recently, how a particular customer might be faring, how we've managed to break into a new market or country. We are social, we do this. Now, whilst your boss or the owner of the business might do this and you are only following their lead, it is unlikely you have permission to share any of this information publicly, and sharing, or privately even, and sharing such even information, even about talking to others about what you do day to day in your job, can be perceived by an employer who wants to cut numbers of staff as gross misconduct. Ha, you gasp. That is incredible and totally unbelievable. Yet, why do I know several people who have been fired or are currently on final written warnings for blogging about their jobs and sharing company information publicly? And this can happen at publishers of all sizes. Look at it another way. Your team has gone all out to secure a deal. It might be with an author, a rights deal with another publisher, or a bulk sale with a customer. And just before that deal is signed, another publisher swoops in and takes the deal from you. I've had it in sales, where we used to sell 1,000 copies of a book to an organisation as an incentive. And on the day the order, which was quite substantial in money, was about to be processed, the organisation came back to me and told me another publisher had offered a similar book for a far better price, and they went with them. Ouch, that hurt. Because we didn't just lose that business for that year. Where we had automatically been first choice, we then became second. Yet this was a very special deal we'd organised. How did the other publisher know what we were up to? Who knows? I certainly didn't tell anyone outside of the company. It could have been fluke, but if there was a leak, or I had bragged or given a talk about who my customers were, can you imagine the ramifications? It is very likely I would have lost my job as well as that deal for gross misconduct, which, if you are not aware, gross misconduct usually means instant dismissal. Another scenario is number four, which is speaking on panels, giving talks, or using the company name to further your personal profile. Now, from time to time, we all might be asked to appear on a panel or give a talk, whether about our job or something else, or form part of a discussion. Unless the invitation to participate has come from someone senior within the company, you should take it that you need permission from your employer to participate. In some companies I've worked for, this has also been a clause in the contract of employment, that I was not allowed to appear or participate or speak to any publication, media, TV, press, or any panel, discussion group, or to any society without prior permission from my employer. As someone who has arranged speaker panels for a variety of organisations, I can tell you that in most instances, instances, particularly if we were discussing something contentious, the person we approached, unless they were the owner of the business, often would say, "I just need to run this past HR or corporate communications," before they would agree to speak. When I was employed by a publisher and I was interviewed by the trade press with my book careers hat on, I would always ask to see what quotes they were going to directly attribute to me before publication and seek approval of a company director, even though my words might be tagged as book careers. Because if it was something that could affect my day job, I always sought permission first. So, go and get permission, or if the request has come internally, ask for guidance on the boundaries, on what you are allowed to speak about, what you are allowed to share, and you won't come unstuck. Number 5 is what you tweet about your job or political views or write about on social media. Do ensure that you are sticking to the guidelines in your contract of employment, whether it's that just by adding to your profile or tweets of my own. But even then, in a number of cases, that may not be sufficient, especially if you express views which heavily conflict with the work your employer is doing. In football terms, it's often referred to as bringing the game into disrepute when a player has criticised a situation publicly. So always check your contract of employment and comply with it. Don't think for a minute if it's on your private Facebook page, no one will see it, because that attitude never helped anyone. If you post it on the internet somewhere, either publicly, privately, or in a direct message, someone will see it. Someone may share it with or without your knowledge, and you might just get fired. Scenario number 6 has sort of been frozen whilst we've been in lockdown. But when things start up again, taking photos of inside of offices, whether yours or someone else's. Ensure there is nothing confidential on show, or you're not breaching confidentiality by tagging yourself in places. For example, I could post photos of every publisher's office I went into. However, 9 times out of 10, I'm there for a completely confidential meeting. Sometimes I've been spotted by the more observant of you in your offices, and you've asked why I'm there. And all I can say is I'm working on a project with HR, nothing more. So even though I work for myself, to publish photos of where I am at any time could be seen as a breach of contract, and I could risk losing that contract. But that's ludicrous, you say. Yet I signed a contract with a publisher which says just that about photos and company confidential information. Not that it is ludicrous, of course, but the fact our relationship should remain confidential. It's the same when I might tweet any photos of my desk or papers. You can guarantee if you zoom in, you won't be able to see anything, not even a diary page, which will lead you to see what I'm working on or who I'm working with, unless I expressly want you to see it. You should be adopting the same principles too. Always check with someone first if you can take photos, selfies in their premises or anywhere. I even have friends who do not allow us to take photos of inside their house. Mostly in the world, photos and selfies are encouraged, but it is always better to be safe rather than sorry. Number 7 covers any voluntary commitments. Now, I chaired the Society of Young Publishers for more years than I care to remember. I think it was something like 5 times in 10 years, even though you're only allowed to be chair once. And every time I stood for the committee or as chair, I had the permission and the blessing of my employer of the time. The first time I was chair, I even got given extra days holiday to use for SYP purposes and a pay rise. I got a pay rise in publishing because my employer was so proud of what I was doing. Yet sometimes when we take on voluntary commitments, there can be a question mark about how much time these commitments will take and how that time will impact on your job. Always be open and upfront, especially if you're going to occasionally be printing something off, photocopying something, or posting items. In every instance, I came to an agreement with my employer about what I was allowed to do, and we agreed a fee for using the photocopier and a method for all photocopying and postage to be reimbursed to the company. I cannot even start to tell you what a difference this made, because I didn't have to sneak around and steal. Because taking anything from your office, your employer, whether it be a pen, a stapler, using the photocopier for personal use, putting personal items through the company post without reimbursement, is all classed as stealing. And stealing comes under gross misconduct. Now, I'm sorry if I've just spoiled your side hustle or extracurricular activity. However, given what has appeared on my desk in the last 6 months, all of this needed to be said. If you have a job, permanent or otherwise, whether it's maternity cover, a fixed term contract, a freelance contract, whatever, you have a contract of employment. In their contract, there are likely to be a number of clauses that state clearly what you can and can't do whilst the company is paying you. Always check your contract of employment first and ask for permission before doing something. It will save you a lot of heartache and stress. If in doubt, seek legal advice. If you're like some of the people who I've been helping through these situations, or you're struggling with something else, my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag bookcareers, or on Twitter @bookcareers, or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.